Welcome to Atlanta Business Radio. I am Lee Cantor, and today I am joined with my co-host, Mr. Nathan Hunt. Nathan, how are you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you, Lee?
I am doing great. How's your day been?
Wonderful. It's good to be here with our new guest here.
That's right. Today we have Joe McKenna. He's the host of Impact of Glycomics, the radio show that's on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And you can go to his website, impactofglycomics.com, and listen live there. Joe, welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Lee. Thanks for the invite. I really am appreciative to be here.
Sure. So why don't you just talk a little bit about what glycomics is and how you got into it and things like that.
Okay, so I'm going to wow you with definitions.
Wow me with glycomics, because I have no idea what it is.
Right. So let's start with this. In front of me, I've got this book. It's the Harper's Biochemistry. So it's one of the top biochemistry books used by the chemistry departments in universities as well as medical schools. Okay? So they define glycomics, and they say, glycobiology is the study of roles of sugars in health and disease.
So sugar, not like regular sugar, right? Or just the sugar you consume through food?
No, incorrect. So we'll go on. The glycome is the entire complement of sugars, whether free or present, in more complex molecules of an organism. Glycomics, an analogous term to genomics or proteomics, is the comprehensive study of glycomes. Does that make any sense to you?
Not
exactly.
Kind of lost too, yeah.
That's why I did that. I wanted to catch your attention. So if you're a biochemistry student and you're in chapter 46, so you already have a very good knowledge, yeah, that makes sense. If you're the average listener, you have no idea. You asked if it is normal sugars like you consume. No. These are carbohydrates, yes, but these are actually more of a chemical sugar, per se, and it's only present in your body. Okay, so glycomics is the study of sugars in your body, mm-hmm. whether they're present, free-floating, or attached. And where they'd be attached would be on the cells inside your body. Okay?
It's pretty simple.
Simple to you. You're much smarter than me.
Well, let's listen.
Let's go a little further. Good point. Let's go a little further, though. So if we understand that glycomics is the science of these sugars, then we can understand why they would even look into this. So I told you that these sugars are present in your serum or on your surface of your cells, okay? So science is studying these sugars because they've realized that they can be a new code, a new key to answers in health, okay? So we had the Genome Project. It's still going on. There's a lot of studies in that, especially in Japan. Now they're adding in glycomics, the study of the sugars, to understand even more in depth what's going on with health.
So the genes are one thing and the sugars are another thing? Or they interact in some way important?
That's an awesome question. There is an interaction on a cellular level. So your cells have genetic material. The cells have to use that genetic material to make something happen. The actions within the cell and between cells are all controlled by these sugar molecules. And so glycomics is figuring out that we have this genetic material. How do we turn it on? How do we turn it off? How do we make a new cell? How do we manipulate it? What makes all this happen? And this is communication between the sugars in the science of glycomics.
And so glycomics studies the sugars and how it interacts with the genes and the different cells that are in the human body?
Very good point, Lee. Thank you. What's interesting is it's huge. Okay, so this is a new science.
It's like how new?
It was discovered 50 years ago, mm-hmm. but it hasn't been till the last, say, 15 that science really realized the importance.
Now, when you're saying science, are you talking about universities or started studying it at that point?
Right, we're talking about research institutes, mm-hmm. private and public.
I see. You were saying they earlier, and I was wondering, well, is there a particular group of scientists?
Well, they fall under the top level of biochemistry, so it's biochemists. And then it goes down into the different,
right?
Subgroups. Exactly.
Now, are certain countries more into it than other countries?
Well, not really. It's absolutely amazing how fast it has gone across the map. And we've got here in the United States, the NIH, which is the National Institute of Health, is one of the major funders of the science of glycomics. Mm-hmm. But that's around the world as well. There are departments in Tokyo. There are departments in London. Australia, you know, you name it, there are departments of study.
They're studying it everywhere.
Exactly.
And is it studied more in kind of private research institutions or in the schools now, universities and things like that?
Well, it is an upper echelon science, meaning it's not something you learn about year two, year three of med school
right.
or chemistry. This is the top-notch biochemist in the world. So you have some in the university level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've usually got one to two per university that are really in tune.
Specializing.
And then you've got private institutes of study as well, companies that are looking forward in the future as to how to use this science for developmental means.
So the pillars and the movers and shakers in science are looking into glycomics. What's its value? What's the impact that it's having on the industry?
Great question. MIT, 2003, posted an article. They said the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. They listed glycomics.
By name, glycomics, or just
Correct.
Biochemistry?
Glycomics, the science
wow.
of. They went all the way down to that because they see that the answers that come out of glycomics are very wide. And there are just anything they want to study within the human body comes back to glycomics.
Wow. Pretty fundamental.
How'd you get interested in it?
Great question. I was lucky enough to sit in on a meeting, and I'm good friends with a chemist and a chemical engineer, and he has chemistry background as well. And he said, I came across this science, Joe. You're going to find it interesting. And it was one of those simple conversations over coffee. Thought nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes into it, I'm absolutely enthralled. Started studying it, and I realized that there was something there.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you see as the potential?
I'm highly excited about it. One of the major things for me that I'm very excited about it is cancer research.
Oh, really? Okay. So cancer is one of the big a connection between glycomics and cancer, or a way to help cancer patients?
Exactly. So if you think about cancer on a fundamental, average listener basis, the reason cancer is happening is it's something going wrong inside our bodies on a cellular level.
Mm-hmm.
So if glycomics is understanding cellular interactions,
oh, so then
it's a key
a connection.
Fit. It's perfect. So science is looking at using glycomics for everything. You name it. So a lot of the major universities, Emory University is studying, they specialize in cancer. And they're studying in other universities as far down the road as how to turn on and off genes.
Wow.
And manipulate gene expression.
And it would be through the sugars?
Correct.
Wow.
And then drug development as well. So say you take a cancer patient, what do they give them? Chemotherapy.
Right.
Great. It's saved millions of lives.
How does chemotherapy work? Like, it doesn't work by, it works by killing, like, bad cells and good cells, right?
Correct. The idea behind chemo is killing off a certain amount of cells before they have time to multiply.
Right.
Cancer, in simplistic definition, is a fast multiplying cell.
Right.
Okay. So they're just trying to catch that.
So they want to just get rid of it in mass, and so you take, hopefully you get rid of all the bad cells, but you kind of get rid of some of the good cells too.
Yeah.
That's kind of a negative part of chemotherapy. It wipes people out.
Exactly. Nowadays, everyone knows somebody who's going through it. So you've got people who are, you know, have lost their hair. My cousin's
right.
having chemotherapy right now. He lost his hair. His, you know, his nails don't grow as fast. All these different functions.
Right. Well, and plus nausea. I mean,
there's
a whole bunch of other side effects.
Exactly. But so if you take that
mm-hmm.
and you're developing a drug, and you understand glycomics, and you can figure out a way of what sugar chain combination is unique to cancer,
right.
you can now make a tagged drug that only kills cancer cells.
And so it'll keep the good cells
you got it.
Going and not just kill everything in sight.
Exactly. So your major laboratories out there, that's their study, man. They want to be able to pinpoint disease and fix it.
Getting rid of that mass destructive effect and manipulating the objective that you're looking forward to.
Exactly.
Just targeted. It's
exactly.
more targeted.
And not that, let me say, there's nothing wrong with chemotherapy. It has saved millions of lives. But that's the beauty of science. Science never stops.
Right, it evolves.
We evolve. And our scientists in this world, that's their passion, man. They want to make things better, 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 better. And this is just the next step in that progression.
Are there leaders here in the United States that are doing great things?
There are. A few major universities. Since we're in Atlanta, I do like to talk about two of our universities that are very developing it. Emory is one of them. They've got a great department. They have a new head of the department,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Richard Cummings, and he's known around the world. He's really working on bringing together scientists.
Mm-hmm.
And UGA has an institute as well, so University of Georgia. And there are biochemists at Georgia Tech and Kennesaw State University. Every university, there are biochemists that know about it and or are studying it.
But some universities are just doing more than superficially studying it. They're really going full bore into it, right?
Right.
And Emory is one of the ones.
Emory's one of them. So they've brought in Dr. Cummings because of his connections, because he is developing it on such a wide scale. So I told you the National Institute of Health is funding this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Studies. They've developed a website called the Consortium of Functional Glycomics. Dr. Cummings was implemental and still is in the development of that site.
Mm-hmm.
And that site is all about bringing together the researchers and sharing studies. Okay, so this is my white pages that I wrote about what I'm doing in my lab.
Or
this is our research that we're doing. And it's just a way to share and grow.
Now, on your show, you're going to be talking to people like that. Is he a doctor?
Dr. Cummings?
Yeah, he's PhD study. Uh-huh. And that's exactly the point of my show, is another variation of what they're already doing. So they've got sites, like I said, the consortium, where they bring together the research papers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about more of a site to bring together the researchers.
Okay? Fantastic.
A chance for them to share, this is what my department's doing, this is what I'm studying, this is what I see, this is who we're working with. And to bring them together, because that is an issue right now. And then on top of that, I confused you with the first sentence in the book, right? Remember?
Right. Like, so, yeah, is the site going to be more for the layman or is the end consumer, or is it going to be a bunch of smart people?
That is a perfect question, and that is the key to the whole thing. I love smart people. I'd like to say that I'm kind of a smart person, but these guys, you know, these chemists are top-notch. They are the few, the proud, you could say.
Right.
You know, there's only so many of them in the world.
Right.
And one of the problems with the science of glycomics is that it's not getting the press that it needs. And we all know press equals money.
Right. More funding and more research and getting the word out.
Exactly. So bringing this down to a level of the average listener,
uh-huh.
so that they can hear about what's on the frontier for
right.
cancer research, they'll listen to that.
Right.
And they'll get behind that and they'll want to make that happen.
And putting a human face to the white papers is going to be a huge impact on people just feeling more comfortable around a new concept, which is going to be a good thing.
Exactly. I appreciate that. Thank you. You nailed it.
Now, is glycomics, you had talked about how glycomics impacts cancer. Is there a place for glycomics that it's just for a wellness standpoint, like anti-aging, or is it just, are they looking at it more as just kind of a medicinal?
Well, you know, that's the really amazing thing about it, is they're researching it in all directions. So I talked about manipulating genes, and I talked about communication between the cells. So the same things that are disease conditions, they can manipulate other things as well. So it is literally wide open.
So it's kind of untapped at this point.
Correct. There's just not enough geniuses around to do all the research.
Right. So it's the Wild West. They haven't blazed a trail in a given direction right now.
Well put. There are a few that are deeper than others, but there is no stop to it for sure.
So when you look at the horizon of where this is going, for instance, have any scientists looked 50 years out and said, okay, you know, our expectations are we should be able to do this or that, augment people's intelligence and things like that with glycomics. Is that the case?
Yeah, like what are the, you know, the kind of the what can it be in the future? What are the possibilities?
You know, if this question was posed to the researchers, they would probably be careful as to how to say it, or they may be hyper excited. You could very easily throw a word in there that's going to cause people to balk, and that would be utopia.
Mm-hmm.
You could very easily go that direction because we've yet to find where this doesn't – we've yet to find a stopping point
mm-hmm.
as to its ability. What we do know is we know our stopping point,
sure.
i.e., we haven't figured that out yet.
Right.
So we don't know how things are working exactly. And I say we. I'm not a researcher. But the community as a whole hasn't figured out where that is. But possibilities, endless. As to your question about intelligence, they're doing studies with developing brains in mammals, and they're doing it with mice, and it's going very well.
Fantastic.
Very well.
So in addition to Dr. Cummings, who are the other big players?
Well, you know, the article I spoke about that MIT said, 10 Emerging Technologies. Mm-hmm. So they interviewed a gentleman. His name is James Paulson, and he's with the Scripps Research Institute in La Jolla, California.
Mm-hmm.
They're big. Big research institute, especially in specializing in glycomics.
So they're, when you say specializing in glycomics, they're specializing in the sense of they're doing research only in glycomics? Or that's just one of the many things they do research in?
It's one of the many. Mm-hmm. And they are...
But they put bodies against glycomics because they feel it's so important.
Exactly. Exactly. And so let me just give you a quote here by Mr. Paulson. So one of the functions in glycomics is a term called glycosylation. And it's a stage where the cells use these sugars, okay? So he's quoted in the article saying, without glycosylation, you don't have life. Okay? So he is another one who is saying it is that broad. These are the possibilities.
So this is actually, these sugars are the building blocks of life?
I wouldn't go there. You would, you know, jump on a lot of toes with the Genome Project because we recognize without DNA, there is no life. But what he's saying is without this function happening, higher level communications within the body aren't available.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so then another great part that he put in the article, and I love this article, it's just fantastic. He says, in order for the field to progress rapidly, we need to bring together the experts in the various subfields to think about the problems of bridging the technologies and beginning to move toward a true glycomics approach. Dr. Cummings has been quoted in an article of his saying almost exactly like that.
Mm-hmm.
Point being, we need to come together and compare minds.
Oh, like so you're saying like a best practices amongst all the different researchers in the various places?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what you're trying to do with your show, right, is kind of being a hub where all these smart people can gather and share what they're doing.
Exactly right. You know, I had the chance to be in a meeting earlier today, five people in a room, business people, mm-hmm. talking. There was no topic. There was no agenda. There was no program. Guess what happened? Two people got jobs. One guy came up with a new business idea. Mm-hmm. And the rest of us just had a fantastic time. And we worked on each other's businesses. It's a round table.
Right.
What we're creating with the radio show is a round table, a chance to bring that together and create something. You know, every time you bring up a conversation, something new comes out of it.
When you put a lot of intelligent minds together, the synergy that comes out of that's fantastic. Really, it's strong, and who knows?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Now, one of the things that they're doing around the world is there are symposiums mm-hmm. where the top chemists come together and they report on their research. Fantastic time. That's very huge in medicine and research side of science. And the point of that is, here's what I did, here's what we did, here's our studies, here's what the lab, what happened, end results. Problem with that is it's a little more structured. Okay, so there's a time and place for everything. There's a time and place for structure and sharing, and there's a time and place for creative, open-minded banter.
Right.
And that's
conversation.
What I'm exactly.
Mean, just create a dialogue.
Right.
And then, so how do you, when are you starting, when's the debut of the show?
You know, we're going to start next week with an interview, Wednesday at 11, and we're just going to go there from there. Every week, Wednesday at 11, it will mm-hmm. be on, and people can listen in, and like I said before, it'll be a chance for a roundtable discussion amongst the researchers, but it'll also be a chance for the average person to tune in and see what's happening.
And learn. Because this is, I mean, it's not out there in a common way. I mean, I had never heard of it before.
No. If I sit down with one of the Congress people here in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
there are two of them that I know of that are physicians,
right.
board certified. If I say, what are you planning on doing for funding glycomics research
right.
this year? That money, 50%, if not 100% of them don't know about it. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's the point. The point is to get it so everybody knows about it.
Right. And how do you see a path to do that? Like how would what would be a way to kind of, I know your show's one of them, but what would be a goal of getting it out there and make it more mainstream?
You know, eventually the goal is to have other people interviewing us, okay? And us being myself as well as the scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And but you're talking like People Magazine interviewing? You want to be like, you know, to make it that mainstream.
Right. Earlier this year, or last year, excuse me, one of the chemists from Harvard University was on the news. And they asked him about glycomics. And nothing against him, but it didn't go over very well because they didn't understand.
Right, he was talking over their heads.
Well, that, and it was just brand new. You know, right. The first time you hear something.
Sure, it doesn't sink in.
So there needs to be a repetition out there. There needs to be a chance for the average listener to hear about this multiple times.
Right.
So that when he comes in next time, the news person will say, I heard about X, I heard about Y, and is it really true that that equals this?
Right.
Or that you're doing this, or we can expect this. And then we really get into press, and we really get into, you know, get the ball rolling.
And then you think that that will lead to funding and getting more of the research so that there can be, like right now, are there hard products that someone can buy, or is it too early in the process?
There's a couple of drug companies that have been developing tagged drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their things have been okay. Some of them haven't.
Because it's so new.
It's so new.
Right.
It's all about learning what we can do with it.
Sure.
Wow. You know, I could see a huge advantage to the public generating their own opinions from professionals in the field who aren't being swayed by any type of commercial interest initially. You know what I'm saying? So, for instance, from the show here, people could listen and say, wow, you know, that's an interesting opinion without a drug company, without them having to worry that a drug company is behind that opinion that they just heard. That's powerful.
You know, that's a great point. I'm very impressed by that, actually, that you brought that up. Science, if you've ever known a scientist, if you've ever known a doctor, if you've ever known, you know, heck, your biology teacher in high school, the first thing they espouse to is purity of knowledge. And that's where we get discoveries. That's where we figure things out. And that's what our researchers are doing. They're coming from purity, man. They are out there figuring it out. And that's what they want to do. So God bless them. Let's keep supporting them. Get them, you know, financial support as well as public support. And that's where you'll get the really great things in life and the really good answers.
So what's the speed you see this progressing? Is this like once the funding starts coming in, is this going to be something that should be like a top priority for researchers, do you think?
100%. This is already on the minds of most researchers, and it is definitely considered to be cutting edge, and it's going to be a snowball effect.
Mm-hmm.
So the more they learn, like I said, there's points where we stop and we don't know how that happens, but it's happening within glycomics. The more they learn, the more it'll go into the next chapter. So in no longer chapter 46, it now applies to chapter 2, 5, 10, and 11.
Right. All right. Well, right now they can go to your website, impactofglycomics.com, and there's information about glycomics in general there, or what's on the site?
There's some general stuff about the show, what our goal is, about the science for the average listener. They want to see what we're talking about. And they'll be able to listen to this. I'll post this interview up there so you can listen to it and see what to expect.
And also, over time, you're going to build it as kind of just an information source for glycomics in general?
Yeah, there's a tagline on it. It says, something like, open knowledge sharing.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're very big on, with this website, we're very big on the sovereignty of the website.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone, you know, if the researcher wants to come on and talk about their department or their book that they're writing or what they're doing, that's perfectly great. The website is there to offer that to them.
Is there going to be a forum so that people who have a response to the things that they hear on the show and that they read on the website, they'll have a means where they could express themselves?
Yeah, wow, that's a great idea. I hadn't thought of that about that. So let me write that down. You know, there's a real chance there.
Yeah, I think that on the site, if you have a blogging site, you should be able to do that.
Okay, great, because we are going to do a blog. There are a few blogs posted, including the one from MIT, so you can look at that article. And the blogs will be everything from here's a feature article I found to so-and-so's up to this or this is what's going on. You know, it's a blog. It's open freeform. But a chance for people to respond and, you know, that may be great.
Yeah, create a dialogue. Yeah. That would be really good.
And so when the guy cutting the check up in Washington looks.
And say, look, there's, you know, thousands of people care about this.
Right.
You should too.
The average consumer wants to know that this research is getting done. Great idea. Thank you, Nathan.
And what's the website again?
It is impactofglycomics.com. So I-M-P-A-C-T-O-F. GlyComics.
And if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to ask you some questions, do you have an email or some?
Yeah, there's a contact page there on the site, or else it's jmckenna@impactofglycomics.com.
Good stuff, Joe.
I really appreciate it, guys.
So, Nathan, what do you think?
I'm interested. I'm going to visit the site one just as much as I can.
All right. So this is Lee Cantor for Nathan Hunt, another great Atlanta Business Radio show. Tune in next week when we have on another mover or shaker in the Atlanta area.